Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Sam Grass in Atlanta, Georgia. Joining me today is Lee Cantor, our producer of the show. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Today's June the 8th, and rather than it being springtime weather in Atlanta, Georgia, it is the depths of summer weather.
How awesome is that?
I heard you tell Kevin, if I don't like it, I should move north. I guess you're right.
Back to West Virginia. I bet it's nice and, 70 there?
I don't know. They could be having the same weather. Joining us in Dallas, Texas today is Kevin Ritz, our host in Dallas, and joining him is Steve Roland. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Sam.
Good morning.
How's the weather there, Kevin?
It is hot. I think we hit 103 yesterday.
There you go. People in Atlanta, be careful what you wish for. You could be in Dallas, Texas.
We're shipping it your direction.
Can't wait.
Kevin, I'm going to turn it over to you. Take it away.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks, Lee. I am joined today by Steve Roland, who is with Generation Solutions of Texas. Steve, good morning.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. And just to give you a little snapshot of who I am, I was born and raised in a place that only has one weather. It's San Diego. 72, you know, partly cloudy, and 72 is what the weatherman says every day. I was able to receive a bachelor's in communications, and I moved my family to Texas about 5 years ago. I was a Christian minister for about 13, 14 years, and when I got out of that, I started getting into senior care. I worked in assisted living communities, and over that period, I started to see a real need to work with veterans and their families. Personally have a deep respect for what they've done, and the longer I've worked in this industry with helping veterans, the more I respect them. So over the last 5 years, I've started to work with veterans to help them get the VA aid and attendance benefit, because one of the things that I've found time and time again is that the VA aid and attendance benefit is incredibly helpful for people, but they just don't know it's there. And so here they are, they've lived their lives, and all of a sudden they're hit with a $3,000 a month bill, and some of them just really don't have a way to pay it, or they had saved all their lives hoping to pass on some of those assets to their family and realizing that they're going to run out, and their concern really at the end of the day is they're going to outlive their money. And so helping them get this benefit is a way to say thank you for what they've done, and it's been an absolute pleasure.
So for those of us who are either in the home care business or the assisted living or independent living, when we are meeting with a client or a prospective resident, what are some basic talking points that we can use to let veterans know that benefit is there without guaranteeing that
right,
they're going to qualify? What's kind of the best communication tool for that?
Well, first, just bringing up the subject. I don't know how many people I've sat with who have been to the VA, get all their medical care at the VA hospital, that have absolutely no idea that this is available. Usually they find out when they're sitting with somebody, home health, or they're sitting there at the assisted living community. And they first don't know about it, and second, they'll look, well, that's not for me. I mean, these are some of the toughest people you've ever met in your life, and so any kind of assistance, they say, well, that's not for me. So first off, what I tell people is just to bring it up, you know, sir, or, you know, was either to the veteran himself, did you serve? If it's a widow, was your husband a veteran? And just asking that simple question a lot of times opens up, and then just letting them know that it's available, and that they should check it out to find somebody to get that information. That really gets the ball rolling.
Yeah. How do you handle the situation that might come up where the husband was a veteran,
mm-hmm,
but the widow doesn't know where any of his documentation is? Is there an easy way to track that down?
Yes. well, easy is a relative term. It can be tracked down. How about that? There are ways through whether Social Security numbers or service numbers, records have been kept. And given that information, just a couple key elements, whether it be really their service record or any just a number, and really even from Korea, their Social Security number is really all that's needed to get it started. It's the one thing I talk to people really on their own. I tell people, sir, ma'am, you don't need anybody to do this. You go to the VA website. Now that I've given you this information, you could go there. The problem is about 15%, maybe 10 to 15% who do that on their own actually get it. They'll get tripped up, or at the end of the day, they just stop trying because it's overwhelming. I mean, here they are. They're 80 years old, and all of a sudden, they're going through the bureaucracy or whatever else to try to get there. They just say, forget it. And so that's where really lending a hand just to be able to be an advocate for them really helps out and to help it not be overwhelming.
Yeah. From a qualification standpoint, can you kind of touch on the basic qualifications?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. First thing they look at is service record. And, a lot of times we're working with people who have served in World War II, Korea, those conflicts, and really, as it gets into, others, Vietnam or anything like that, the next thing to look at, if they're in Vietnam, the next thing that they need to be 65 years old. If somebody was in World War II, you can pretty much guarantee they're of age. So service record, it's really not that hard. It's 90 days of active service, one day during a time of war. And one of the things I tell people is that it doesn't matter if you're on the front lines charging a beach or you are getting tea times for the generals. That's not what they look at. That wasn't your choice. You're in during that time, during time of war, you're going to qualify. Again, 90 days active, one day in a time of war. And again, most of these people spent 2 to 3 years serving overseas, and so they more than qualify there. The next thing they're going to look at are the care needs for home health, if they're having somebody come. And at the end of the day, it needs to be shown that they need help with at least one activity of daily living. And right. Really, what I tell them is that in a real way, we're making a case. It shouldn't have to be this way, but we're making a case that you deserve this. And so a lot of the guys will be like, well, I don't need anybody to help me. They get real tired. Sir, I understand that. I'm sure you could take me on right now. But for this case, what are some of the things that they're helping you here at the community? What are some of the things that you're getting assistance with right now? And then, medicine, feeding, anything that, daily activity, bathing, dressing, anything that somebody comes and helps them, that's going to help qualify them. The next thing really they're going to look at is the financial situation, which is another area where people tend to cancel themselves out immediately. Well, they've earned a good living, or they have a few dollars in the bank. Well, then it's not for me. What they do is they take the total repeated monthly care costs. I'll just use assisted living because it's very simple. It's very cut and dry. Let's say you're going to a community. It's $3,500 a month. They will count that entire amount as a reoccurring care cost. They'll take that and they'll compare it to your income. A lot of times people are upside down. They might have Social Security, maybe a pension, maybe a little bit of investments, those types of things. And so let's say they're coming in at $2,800 a month income, $3,500 going out. They're going to qualify. They're going to qualify even if it's the same amount, or even if they're making a little bit more than what's going out.
Now, will they qualify for the full monthly benefit if they only need a few hundred dollars a month? Or are they going? Is the VA going to tier that?
Well, it's interesting. If you are making more than, I'll use $3,500 out, but you have $4,000 coming in. They'll take the monthly amounts, and again, just so for people know, a veteran with a spouse, $1,949 a month. A veteran with no dependents, $1,644. Surviving spouse, widow, is $1,056. And so what they'll do is say, okay, well, you're $500 over. They'll take that total amount and subtract approximately that $500 out. So you could still, so if, let's say you were $200 under, you would qualify for the entire amount.
Okay.
And so they kind of work with it a little bit there. It's not exact, but for the most part, once you have more care costs going out than income going in, you qualify for the entire
amount. All of it. Well, that's great information, because I know that's a question that comes up a lot.
Absolutely.
Is how much am I actually going to get of that available benefit? From my days in assisted living, I know that there was a lot of misunderstanding about this mystery $80,000 in assets. I know for a while it was even posted on the VA's website. I don't know if it's still there or not. But it was there, and then we were told that's not necessarily true.
Right.
What is the truth?
Well, it comes from Title, Title 38 is where it all comes from. And basically, it was purposely vague. It says it cannot be excessive. Well, that's purposely vague. because in, let's say, 1960, what is considered excessive to 2011 is very different. So I understand why they did that. Well, things are getting tighter and tighter. Even though there are billions and billions of untouched dollars for this, because really only about 4% of the people that are qualified actually get this.
Wow.
And so there are, like, I think at this point, about $39 billion just sitting in there that is available. And so far the government, politicians haven't dipped their hands into it. I hope they don't. What they do is they look at a couple things. They look at if you are, if you are under $1,000 a month, you're having $2,000 in, $3,000 out, they're going to let you have, they're going to let you have 20,000, those types of things. If you are hemorrhaging maybe $2,000 to $3,000 a month, they'll allow you to have a little bit more. So it really has to do with how much you're under.
Right.
If you're right at that, they're going to look at it like, well, for the most part, you need to, you're not going to be able to, in their eyes, have a great deal of assets in your name. Now, and that's what's really great at this point, though, that the financial planning can be done.
Right.
And that's where I always try to talk to people. Like, they call me and they say, well, I'm going to let me just apply and then we'll try to figure it out. I said, first, you don't want to do it until you're ready, because then you get caught in the web of bureaucracy. But the reality is that they will allow you to do financial planning before you send it in. And there's a number of ways to do that. And it's really, what I do to make sure that when they make their application, they're going to be accepted.
Yeah.
That is absolutely the goal.
So basically, there's no look-back period.
There's no look-back period. Yeah, absolutely. Like a Medicaid, there's 5 years. And it's basically, this is where I think they do honor the veterans, that this is something they earn versus a Medicaid where it's just a government, it's a government gift in a sense. It's a government program. This is a pension that they earned by their service.
Right.
And so there's no look-back period at this point. And really, that allows the. And what I, at the end of the day, I want the best care for the veteran, to preserve assets, to give them that best care. And again, I guarantee you, if you ask them after their care is taken care of, that they would like to pass on whatever they can to family or give it and pay it to the assisted living community. I think they give it to their family, as we all would.
Right.
And so that's really the goal.
Yeah. I think you've kind of already answered this, but we'll give you an opportunity to say it again. What is the most rewarding thing about that you find about what you do?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm sure I've shared it. You're meeting people in a very difficult spot. Call it my ministry background, but you're meeting them at that moment, and a lot of times they're like, I have no idea how I'm going to get... And a lot of times you're working with the... the adult children.
Right.
That's a big, big part of it. And they've got their own kids. They've got their own jobs. Now mom or dad can't stay at the home anymore, or in their own home anymore, or they need help, or whatever their situation is. And they feel like they're just caught in this kind of crashing on them. So you're able to really be an advocate for them, to meet with these veterans, to honor them. It's incredibly rewarding, and to really say, you know, they're being given, believe what the best we could offer them as a country back to them this way.
Right. So kind of along the same lines, do you have a specific story that really impacted you?
Well, coming to mind, it's basically, I the first one that comes to mind, it was a daughter, and it's basic, without names or anything like that, to hear her story, and she was at her wit's end, and honestly, you could hear tears. When we first met, there were tears. What am I going to do? How are we going to do that? And to meet with her, and they love their parents. You know, they want what's best. They're concerned for them, and then to start to give them direction and to see the relief come back. I mean, I guess that's the one that comes to mind. It was just the first couple meetings were tearful because they're so overwhelmed, wanting to help their mom, wanting to help their dad, and just being able to help them through that process.
Yeah, that's fantastic. If you had a piece of advice to give to a senior or the adult children or people who are taking care of somebody in a situation like this, what would that piece of advice be?
Well, what comes to mind is, number one, ask and find out. I think that a vast majority never hear about it. Then out of the people who do hear about it, they almost instantly disqualify themselves. Now, again, if you think about it, they say, well, we make X amount of dollars per month, or I have this. Well, that may disqualify them, but it may not. If you've got care costs of $4,800 a month, and you've got $4,000 coming in each month, you're still going to qualify. And if they're going into nursing care, full-time nursing care, which is close to $6,000 a month, I mean, again, they think, well, there's just no way. And I think that more people than anything else disqualify themselves before they call, find out the facts. And I think it's too bad because, again, they deserve it. And so that would be my tip, is just ask. If it's not me, ask somebody and find out the facts.
Yeah. If our listeners wanted to get in touch with you, what would the best route to go be?
Well, the best route is to just give me a call. It's 214-918-8400. If you want to look on a website, it's mygenerationsolutions.com. But my cell phone never leaves me, so feel free to give me a call. And my promise is that if I can't get to the phone, whether I be with somebody right away or right at that time, that I will not let the day go by, that I won't get back to them. I feel like they're in need, so I want to give them a call.
Excellent. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to join us today, and we'll send it back to Sam and Lee.
Thank you, Kevin. We certainly appreciate that. Steve, we appreciate you being our guest. Great information. We're always thrilled to have anyone who can assist our veterans, those who have given so much for us. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Joining me today in Atlanta is Sandra Coughlin. Sandra is the owner and operator of Your Story Starts Now. Good morning, Sandra. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me this morning.
Real interesting, kind of a switch of horses as far as topics go, but that's okay. Let's start by asking you to tell us a little bit about yourself, a little history. How did you get to be with Your Story Starts Now?
Okay. Well, as I said before, my name's Sandra Coughlin, and I am a wife and mother of two wonderful boys. And so about 15 years ago, I decided that I was going to come home and dedicate my life to doing exactly that, being a mother and teaching and raising my boys. And over the last couple of years, as they have now grown into teenagers, and one of them has even gone off to college, I have really been starting to pursue outside interest and try to find some ways to bring in some extra income for those college costs. And by doing so, I found this wonderful career of being a personal publishing consultant. And basically, as a personal publishing consultant, my job is to teach, train, and motivate other people into taking their pictures and their life stories and just anything that they want to tell and getting that published for them. I am a consultant under Heritage Makers, who are the actual publishers, and they control the publishing and the technical aspect of the website in which you would go in and do the design work. And that is based out of Utah, so we are an American-based company. And the product itself is publishing books, photo books, ranging from sizes 5x5s to 12x12s, and all the way up into greeting cards and canvases and calendars. They even have a new line of business cards and pamphlets, and they have cookbooks. You name it, you can get it published, and all unlimited pictures, unlimited text.
Interesting situation that I was unaware of. Let's talk about the photo books for our listening audience, because I think that's where the main thrust of this audience is going to be interested. But talk about those supplemental products that you mentioned too. So tell us about the photo books first, and then move into the other products.
Okay. Well, our base product is our books, and these are like a beautiful storybook that you have for your children, hardbound, like something that you would read to them at night, or something that you would put as a coffee table book out in your living room. And they are unlimited pictures, unlimited text. They are double-stitched, library-bound, so they are not going to fall apart. They are also archived for life. They have a high-quality coating on them. They are just absolutely beautiful books. And then, in addition, we have canvases in about 5 or 6 different sizes. And our homes, we can just completely add all of our family photos and just gorgeous memories throughout our walls with these beautiful canvases of all shapes and sizes. We also have calendars, great gifts for Christmas, but just wonderful memorabilia to have on our walls and on our refrigerators. But we have unlimited pictures in those. So instead of just the dates on those, we can actually have the pictures of whose birthday is that day, or just miscellaneous pictures throughout. We also do greeting cards. We have 3 different sizes of greeting cards. This year, I sent out a greeting card that literally had 37 pictures in a regular 5x7 greeting card, and it was my children every month that we had 3 different pictures from every month throughout the book, the card, and then the main picture on the front of the family. So it was a wonderful gift card to send out to family that we rarely see that live in North Carolina, and it just sort of archived our whole year for us right there in one little easy folder for Grandma and Grandpa and everybody.
Let's go back to the book. The books are published. Are they, and I don't really know the technical term, are they in any library, such as maybe a Library of Congress? I would think that would be important as you develop these heritage statements of heritage, you know, heritage. Does anyone do anything like that with those?
They're copyrighted ISBN numbers on the back.
Okay.
So not exactly Library of Congress, but
yeah,
somewhat there. And then the fact that they're archived for life, that basically means that if you publish those today, and if, God forbid, something happened to your home,
okay,
or if, you know, 50 years from now, all the kids want another copy of that book, you can go back in and you can get those books. And depending on the circumstance, if it is based on a disaster, mm-hmm, you can get those books reprinted at half price.
How many of these books are of the family tree, the family history? How many? What's the nature in those regards?
This company actually started about 6 years ago completely as a family heritage style book. The very first book, the people that designed the company, was a book for the grandfather, about the grandfather for the babies. And she just wanted to tell the story so that the children would have it. And from that, we have grown into thousands and thousands of template, 50,000 pieces of digital artwork. So you name it, you can now design it. But because of the foundations and the root of legacy and heritage and family values, there are just tons and tons and tons of templates. And basically by a template, I mean that's a pre-designed book that you can just stick your photos in or type in your words and already have the book designed for you. However, our company is great in the fact that you don't have to use a template. You can design from scratch, mm-hmm. or you can take a template and use it just parts and pieces, what you need and how you want to use it.
Can you share a little bit about how you work with a client? Like, say, a senior wants to do this, or maybe a child of a senior wants to do this and kind of capture some of these memories. How do you work with them, and can you walk us through what that process looks like?
Okay. Yes, it is all done through the computer. So I get a couple of different scenarios when I'm talking about a senior. It needs internet-based, and I can either come and in person and sit down and walk someone through using the system, uploading a photo all the way through how to work with a template or drag and drop what that actually means. So I can start from the very, very basics. If I have somebody that is very computer savvy, I can actually do this all online via a web broadcast, talking with them, giving them the opportunity to practice it, and I can watch it and show them exactly what they're doing right and wrong. So I can basically work with anybody across the U.S. and even somebody overseas that has internet basis. When I'm talking a senior citizen that may or may not feel comfortable with the internet, there's a couple scenarios that we can go with. The number one would be, of course, that their family get involved. And maybe we do this as a family project. I had one lady that wanted to do her mother-in-law's 80th birthday book. And I came over and I sat down with the two of them, and I sort of helped lead the interviewing process. And the daughter-in-law did all the typing up of the stories. She had collected all the pictures and gotten them in a digital form. And the grandmother sat there and told me the stories while she sat there and typed it in. And I worked with the daughter to help to finish off that book. And it basically started her, the 80-year-old lady's parents basically survived the Russian Revolution. They were in, they were having to move just ahead of the bombs throughout World War II. They were in immigration camps both in Germany and when they came over to the U.S., and then they bought into some old homes and ended up in the hotel industry and ended up making millions. And so they really had lived the American dream. And this book started with those initial immigrant photos that she lost many, many, many of those photos due to just having to pack up and leave, to just hundreds and hundreds of pictures of their homes and all the things that they had done through life. And through the back of the book, it goes into the grandchildren and her interactions with the grandchildren and all of her stuff at the church. There was a whole page devoted to her and her activities at the church. And once we published the book, of course, she had a grand tea and a signing party for the book. So it was absolutely wonderful. She was excited, and the son, of course, got his book, and the grandmother got her book.
As related to what you just spoke of, if a person creates this this history, this digital photographic history, and publishes it, it's there. But then 5 years later, there is more to add to the story. Can you go? I'm sure you can go back and republish and redo. Can you have? How do you make that transition?
At this point, the way it would work was you would go back into that existing book. You can add pages to the book, but you're reprinting the whole book over. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. There's not a way to just add pages to the already published library-bound book. There are some options which we are starting to add. We now have a scrapbooking kind of post-bound album for the 12x12 only, mm-hmm. but they may add something similar as an option for those that you know that you're going to add to later. Because, like I said, the company's only been around 6 years, and every year they introduce something new and something innovative to appeal to more and more people in where they're at, either in their abilities online, in helping give new ideas, or in the product matter of what they would rather see. Like I said, the traditional scrapbook cover now that you can completely design from all your pictures, just like you would the pages in the book, has appealed to that traditional scrapbooker where I already have a nice page set up, but maybe I just want to add a few extra pages. That way you can do that scrapbook option and the digital option together.
Obviously, Sandra, you said this is a way that you found to make some supplemental income as you are nurturing and rearing your children. There has to be something that you find exceedingly rewarding. What is that?
Everything about this company is exceedingly rewarding. I mean, I don't really have to carry any kind of inventory. My inventory is my books about my family and my children. Mm-hmm. The ability to sit with other people and hear their life stories, it's just amazing to see the happiness that that brings and the tears that will actually come when people actually receive these gifts, be it my own mother-in-law when she gets them yearly, or be it the 80-year-old lady that wanted to do the high tea over showing off her book. And that's just the immediate benefits, because this product actually is a generational gift that will keep giving year after year after year. And lots of people may say, well, you know, my kids, they sort of know the stories, or they can do it. No, we've got to tell those stories now before it's too late, because the impact and the way in which you can write that story is different from the way it's given out secondhand. And maybe your kids do know the story, but think 2, 3, 4 generations later to be able to go back and read that in your words, to know what you were thinking and what you wanted to pass on.
I'm going to ask kind of a odd question, and I know within my family, I'm sure every family has a chapter or an individual that they'd rather not speak of, but yet it is part of the history. Is that ever brought out? How do you, if so, and how is it addressed in these books?
You know, every family is going to address it a different way, but there was a scenario that one of the other consultants had told us about, that there was an uncle that had really gotten disconnected from the family, and it was very much, he was out of the family, not very active, but she remembered him when he was still part of the family when she was younger, so she decided to go back and tell those stories about that uncle. Mm-hmm. And so she wrote a book about the uncle, and she published it, and the uncle read the book, and actually that fixed the family issue. And then you also have the scenario where all of our kids say they are nothing like us. They don't even know how they got stuck in this family. But if you look back, maybe you were just like Uncle Joe.
My experience is that we do end up becoming like our parents typically, and the older we get. I'm sure there are exceptions, but in general. And my children look at me and think I have 2 heads and 4 eyes and, you know, all that. But I'm sure when they're in their 50s, they're going to have a different view of that landscape.
Exactly. And, I mean, we're letting our children read books like Dora the Explorer in the mornings. Why not tell the story about grandmother or grandfather or aunt and uncle? Or back to the military thing from earlier, those military stories are absolutely priceless. We need to tell more of those stories and have the pride and the heritage that comes with that fighting for America and what actually was the cost and the loss that it was involved.
Now, do you have any examples of maybe some clients or maybe some clients you've heard of that are using this in just really unusual or creative ways that maybe is kind of different than most people?
You name it. There is just always something that comes up to shock me every time I turn around. I think one of the sweetest ones I ever heard was a guy had done a book, and it was for his girlfriend, and he told all the reasons he loved her. And then the last page, he actually asked her to marry him on the last page of the book. And I also had another one, and it was actually the winner for the Heritage Makers. They give out the storybook awards at the end of each year. And he had written a book for his 2 nieces. They were twins. And it talked about their mother, which was his sister. And it was very in-depth. And it talked about her growing up and her life. And the thing that just really brings the hair on your arms to stand up is the fact that the mother died during the childbirth of those twins. And so now they have all this about their mother as they grow up so that her memory's not lost.
Yeah. Yeah, Lee, that was a very, very good question. And I think it was a great example, a proposal, right. A marriage proposal. Yeah. What a unique way. Exactly. I can see a lot of situations where people would love to do this. I would be one. My problem is I'm overwhelmed by the idea of the time and the involvement. I'm overwhelmed. I'd love to tell my family story as it was told to me by my mother and my father and take those stories and put them, but I don't have the time to do so. How can that be overcome in, come in this situation?
Well, it's funny because we all have so many things. And the first point you said was being overwhelmed with so much to tell. You know, you just have to find that most important story, that most pressing, or the one that's the most easily accessible. Those are the first two or three places to look. But then we also say that we don't have the time. And I sort of laugh, especially at my generation, because we posted those pictures on Facebook. It would have been just the same amount of time to have uploaded them into the book and actually tell, this is what we were doing, which you may or may not have added into your Facebook blog about it, and actually have a hardbound, beautiful story to go along with the trip you took or whatever.
Is the idea of a bound book kind of contradictory to the electronic publishing and electronic files that we have now? I guess the real question is, what's the longevity of this medium?
Well, from the person whose hard drive crashed 3 weeks ago, I'll tell you the most important part of that is the fact that it is, all those pictures are still there because it is offline picture storage. And so Heritage Maker still has every one of my pictures. It's not going anywhere. The other problem with some of the other companies is that they shrink the picture sizes and things. Now, there are some limitations to how big the picture sizes can be on Heritage Makers, but for the most part, Facebook shrinks them down to 2x2 pictures. That's not happening when you go into Heritage Makers and upload your photos. So you still have the right size, the right quality of picture.
Let me expand that. With the electronic age, and obviously I have children the same age as you, they are adept to viewing and working in electronic files. I still am a guy who loves to see a hard copy. Do you see that changing? Is the business applicable for these electronic age children? How does that relate?
You can even send the hard book file out, and it's just like turning the pages on the internet as okay. Well, so you can post that and send that to that generation. I really believe that the whole concept of getting rid of the paper and pen is not a good idea right. at all, and I'm hoping that that doesn't purely take on root and completely obliviate the hardbound book.
Well, but I agree with you there. I am a student of the or a child of the 70s and 80s when personal computers were going to eliminate all paper. Everything was going to be electronic. And in fact, the exact opposite has happened. We've created more paper, but nevertheless. Great information. I don't want to put you on the spot, but I would be curious to know, generally, without holding your feet to the fire, what is the typical cost range for doing something like this?
Okay. The books basically range in price from about $35 to $70. That's retail. So what retail means is you went onto my site and you didn't contact me to find out if we had any discounts, and you didn't become a regular producer, which we call Club HM. But if you just were going to make one book and never talk to me, retail runs between $35 and $70 for a book. But once you look at some of our discounts and our Club HM, those prices go down to closer to $22 to $44.
Yeah. So, okay. Now, is there a cost to post the information to the electronic site, or is the only cost the publishing, the bounding and publishing of the book?
Really and truly, there is not, but there is one exception to that rule. The unlimited artwork side of things, if you're going to regularly use the system, mm-hmm. you join Club HM, and Club HM is basically like layaway for your points to publish your books, and all of those, that photo storage and all of the extra embellishments is all included. If you were just going to do a one-time thing, you can use our basic artwork, which is thousands and thousands and thousands of pictures as well, or, you know, the scrap art. Mm-hmm. But it does have some limitations as to how much other stuff in the system that you can access. So if you decided, oh, I'm just going to do a one-time book, but I'm not going to do Club HM, but I want some of the access to the fancier artwork, then there is a monthly fee involved with that.
Okay. Well, that, again, it gives me an idea, and I'll clarify. I know every situation is different and unique, and therefore I don't want anyone to hold that number as being the gospel. That's great. For our listeners who might be interested in doing something of this nature, what high-level piece of advice that could you give them to get started? Not about coming to you, but where do they begin? How do they start this process short of calling you and whatnot?
The basic things that they're going to have to do is start finding the picture files that they want to use. If they're already in a digital format, then that is absolutely, you're already there. The old-fashioned pictures, the published printed pictures, we would need to scan those in order to get them back into a digital file. I also can do some scanning as well, and I'm usually priced about the same as your Walmarts and Walgreens and things like that for the scanning. However, you don't have to stand there in the store and scan. You can actually bring them to me, and I get them done in a day and give it back to you.
That right there, I think, is valuable, because when you told me the first thing to do is get photos in digital, guess right. What I got to do
now, it's work for you.
Absolutely. And so that, yeah, that's a good, good
you can
good
bring reason. Me boxes, Rubbermaid boxes full of pictures, and I'll knock them out in a day for you.
Okay. we appreciate that. Good information. Good topic. I've got another thing that I'm going to kind of tickle your interest in. I'd like to talk to you offline about teaming up, about maybe doing something special for veterans, but we'll talk about that a little later. We certainly thank you for being here, Sandra. For the listeners that want to contact you, tell us how they can do so.
Okay, the website is yourstorystartsnow.com, and on that page is a lot of links to how to get in touch with me, a lot of trainings on how to use the system, and even free classes on where you can upload or you can actually attend on a regular basis. My email is yourstorystartsnow@gmail.com. And then my cell phone number is 678-227-8468.
That's great. Great information. I look forward to maybe working with you in the future.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for being our guest, Sandra. That's it for today. We certainly thank our guests for being here. We certainly thank Steve in Texas for helping and honoring our veterans. I love the idea of Sandra being here and showing a way to digitally tell these stories. I give thanks to all of our listeners for joining us today, and we certainly appreciate your being here. And in closing, for those who want to listen to a rebroadcast of today's show, they can do so at ugeriaradio.com. And if the youth of our nation is its greatest national resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you and God bless.
Ugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.